שלבי הסולם, מועדים, שבועות, page 149, what is the preparation for the reception of Torah? The writing says, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mount, and about the people they said, it says, and they stood at another part of the mount. We have to understand, why does it say, and the Lord came down, which is a descent, which is a lessening, because that was at the time of the giving of the Torah. So moreover, why is it called a descent for God? It was a time of joy. And our sages said, and stood, meaning that he forced it upon them, and said, if you receive the Torah, okay, and if not, there will be your burial place. And he asks in the Tosfot that he forced it on them in the work. To understand the above, we have to remember the known rule that there is no light without a vessel, meaning there cannot be a satisfaction without a need. That nothing can be enjoyed if there is no desire for it, and the desire for it is called the preparation, meaning the need. And the need determines the desire, and the amount of pleasure is measured according to the desire. Thus it turns out that before the giving of the Torah, there had to be a preparation for the reception of the Torah. Otherwise, there cannot be the joy in Torah, meaning that they had to prepare the need for the reception of the Torah. That the need brings the desire, and according to the desire, to that extent they can enjoy the Torah. But we have to know what is indeed the need for the reception of Torah. Our sages said, the Creator created the evil inclination. He created for it the Torah as a spice. And Rashi explains, created the Torah as a spice because it cancels thoughts of transgression. As it says, if you encounter a scoundrel, take him to Beit HaMidrash, to the study room. And in Kiddushin they said, thus says the Lord to Israel, I have created the evil inclination, I have created for it the Torah as a spice. And if you practice Torah, you are not handed over to his hand. As it says, if thou doest well, and if you don't practice Torah, you are given in his hand. As it says, sin coucheth at the door. And indeed we see that the Torah is a correction to exit the authority, the control, the evil inclination. Meaning he who feels he has an evil inclination. Meaning that he feels that the evil inclination, with all the counsels he gives to have a good life and enjoy life, he means to harm him. Meaning that that is what disrupts him from attaining the real good, which is adhesion with God. And because of that, man says about him that this inclination is bad and not good. But it's very difficult for a person to say about it, meaning that the inclination lets him understand that it is worthwhile for him to be concerned with enjoying life, to feel pleasure at what he does, meaning that all his actions will be only for his own good. And it lets him understand that man should know a rule, that all the counsels that he gives is with only one thought in mind, which is his own good. And even though sometimes he tells him to do something for others, it is not just that he tells him to do something for others, but it is pre-calculated that from this action, there will be later on some good for himself. Therefore, how can a person say about it that it is bad, while at the same time it tells him to believe him that he has no other intention but his own good, and not anybody else's good? Because of that, there is a great work here for a person to feel that his will to receive is bad. To the extent that a person knows completely, clearly, that he is no greater enemy in the world, but his receiver, as we found that King Solomon would call him enemy or hater. As it says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And it is very difficult for a person to determine once and for all that it is evil, and he wants only to fail him from the good path, which is the complete opposite of the path of reception, since the path of truth is only bestowal, and he who receives wants only to receive. And it turns out that the choice here that a person has to make is if it is called good or bad. And this is, as our sages said, that Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa said about that angel which is called pregnancy. His name is Laila, night. And he takes a drop and places it before the Creator and says before him, O Lord, this drop, what shall become of it? A hero or a weakling? A wise or a fool? A rich or a poor? But an evil or a righteous? He doesn't say. But that is given to man's choice. Thus we can interpret that the meaning of choice is to determine and decide and give a name to the receiver in man, which is really, or that it is really a good inclination because he cares for man's benefit. And he does not distract his mind even for a minute to care in any way for others. And because of that, it is worthwhile to listen to it, because he is only concerned with himself, meaning to feel good. And therefore we have to trust it and not move from it to the right or to the left, but obey all its orders and never go against his word. And there's also an opposite idea that in fact it's bad, that by listening to it and practicing self-love, by that you become distant from the Creator because of the change of form. And therefore, there is judgment on a person that is done by the power of the correction of restriction, which was on the light that he wanted to give to his creatures. That because of that, the name of the Creator is not called, the name of the Creator who is called the will to receive cannot be revealed in a place where there is self-love. And because of that, a person must determine once and for all that self-love is the bad and the harmful for man. But there is a question. How can a person receive strength to have the ability to make that choice and say about the receiver that it is that bad, to say that from now on he will no longer listen to it? The truth is that for that too we need help from God to show him the truth that self-reception is bad and the real enemy of man. And when a person comes to that sensation, he is already immune to not sin. And therefore, all the punishments and concealments are lifted. Because when one knows that this is the angel of death, anyone certainly runs away from death. And then is a time when he can discover the good and the pleasure, as it was in the purpose of creation. And then a person comes to attain the Lord, who is called benevolent. Thus we can interpret the words, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And the Ramban interprets what is in his heart. He did not say it to the prophet at that time. And Ibn Ezra adds, and then he told his secret to Noah. And that verse is difficult to understand, because only now the Creator sees that the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth, whereas before it he didn't know about it. We should interpret this in the work that the Creator now discovered, meaning after man's great work. After he had put in that work to attain the truth, meaning to know the truth, for what purpose man was born and what purpose he should attain. Then the Creator told him that the inclination of man's heart, which is the receiver, is evil from his youth, meaning that we cannot say that now he sees that the inclination has become evil, but it is evil from youth, although until now he couldn't decide that it really was evil, and therefore man was in a situation of up and down, meaning he would sometimes listen to his inclination and said, from now on I'll know that he's my enemy. Meaning sometimes he would listen to the voice of the inclination and said, from now on I'll know that he's my enemy, and every advice he gives me is only against me. But afterwards the esteem of the inclination would rise again. There's a mistake here. Sometimes he didn't listen to the voice of the incarnation and said, from now on I'll know that he's my enemy and every advice he gives me is only against me. But afterwards the esteem of the inclination rises again, and again he listens to it and works for it heart and soul and back and forth and vice versa. And he feels himself that he is like a dog returning to its vomit. What he has already decided that was unfitting for him to listen to his voice, because all the food that the inclination gives are not food that is fit for man, but food for beast. And suddenly he returns to the food of the beast and forgets all the decisions and the opinions he had before. And then when he regrets, he sees that he has no other way but for the Creator to let him understand that the inclination, which is called bad, it really is bad. Then, after the Creator gives him this knowledge, he no longer turns back to folly. But he asks of God to give him the strength to overcome it each and every time. If this inclination wants to fail him, to have the ability to overcome it. Thus it turns out that the Creator should give him both the light and the vessel, meaning the knowledge that the inclination is indeed evil, and the need to exit its control. And the correction for it is the Torah. As it says, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. It turns out that the need for the Torah is given by the Creator, and also the Torah is given by the Creator. And this is called that God gives both the light and the vessel. Thus we can interpret the above verse, and God said in his heart. What does that mean? It means that he did not say it to the prophet, that is called in his heart. And afterwards he did say it. What is the secret? It is that man's heart, in man's inclination, is evil from his youth. And according to the above, the order is that a person should first see by himself and make a choice and determine that the name of the inclination in his heart is evil. And afterwards he can see that he cannot decide completely and unchangingly and say afterwards that this inclination is good and it is worthwhile to listen to it. And then, vice versa. At that time, the Creator is called saying to his heart that the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth. But to a person who is practicing the choice, God has not yet told that secret, that the inclination is called evil because it's evil. And this is in order for there to be room for work for man to make the choice and determine that it's evil. But afterwards, when man sees that he cannot say that it is completely evil, but he keeps regretting, then comes a situation where he cries to the Lord, help me out. And that's what even Ezra relates to when he says, and then he told his secret to Noah, meaning that Noah is called the work of God, meaning when God reveals to man that the inclination is evil from his youth, that this is not something new, that the inclination is evil, but I haven't told you, but now I'm telling you this secret, that the inclination of man's heart is evil. Now you can be certain that you will no longer listen to it, because I myself tell you that, and because of that I will curse no more, because I will have no more need for punishments, because now it'll be okay. As it says, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. The intention is that before the Creator discovered that, or revealed actually, that man's heart is evil, there should have been ups and downs, meaning that when you began to work, you had livelihood, but in order for you to go the right way, you had to smite every living thing, meaning I had to take away the livelihood you had in the work, and from there, you descended to a place of lowness, because you have evil, which is the evil inclination. And then you can say that I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. But before he has the evil inclination, he feels the necessity. He feels the necessity for the Torah. And because of that, after the Creator discovered the secret that the inclination of man's heart is evil, then there can be the giving of the Torah, because there is no light without a vessel. Actually, before he has the evil inclination, he doesn't feel the necessity for the Torah. And because of that, only after God revealed that secret, that the inclination of man's heart is evil, then there can be the giving of the Torah, because there is no light without vessels. And only when there is a need, one can receive what he needs. But for that too, for God to reveal him that the inclination of man's heart is evil, that too is called light, meaning a satisfaction or a feeling. And there's no feeling without a need. Therefore, a person cannot attain for the Creator to discover his evil before he has a need for that, because there's a rule that it is not man's way to do something unnecessarily, much less about the Creator who doesn't do anything without a reason. Therefore, where will man take the need for God to reveal him that secret? Therefore, a person has to begin the work and know that his receiver is bad, and he should escape his control, and everything he does in Torah and in prayer or in mitzvot, he should try that all his actions will bring in the recognition of evil. And when he feels that he's evil and he wants to do acts of this soul, he begins to receive livelihood. And when he falls from his degree, he loses his livelihood. And this is done by the Creator to drop him from his degree because he cannot see his actual evil yet. But by the descents he gets over time, he asks of God to reveal him once and for all that the will to receive is evil, and to not let him follow it. It turns out that the descents that he has come from the Lord. As it says, neither will I again smite any more every living thing. To receive the livelihood that he in the Torah and the work, and remain without any life of holiness, because a person is not completed with all the need for God's help for the permanent recognition of evil, to not turn back to desire to listen to the voice of the evil, because a person comes to need God's help, because now he sees that there is no way that by himself he can do anything, meaning that he has the strength to not like the evil inclination, to want to listen to it, but that each time he keeps reverting to his evil ways. And this is endless. And that is the reason that he now needs the Creator, to help him know that the inclination in him is his evil. And the motivation for not being able to come to the delight and pleasure that the Creator, and the reason why he cannot come to the delight and pleasure that the Creator had created for the creatures. And this is the reason that man has many descents, because by that it creates in man a desire for God's help, to help him feel that the inclination of man's heart is evil. And thus we can understand what we asked, what is the preparation for the reception of the Torah? The answer is the evil inclination, because when a person knows that he has evil, and after he knows he is told by God, now there's a new need born in man, meaning how to defeat it. and that can be only by the Torah. As our sages said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. And this is the preparation for the reception of the Torah, meaning the need for the Torah, that is called the preparation for the reception of the Torah. By that we will understand what we asked, what is the meaning of the words, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mount. What is the top of the mount, and what does it have to do with descent about the Creator? We know that spirituality, one gives a name according to the act, as it says about Manoach with the angel who said, why do you ask for my name? But according to the action, for example, an angel who goes to heal is called Raphael, God heals. That's the meaning of the word Raphael, etc. And so is the Creator. When he sends a cure to a person, he is called healer of the sick. And according to that, what the Creator should reveal to man, that the inclination of man's heart is evil. It is called that the Creator also tells man in what situation, what state of descent a person is born in. As it says, evil from his youth, meaning from the day he was born. The Creator is called after the action, that he shows man his low state. And that is why he is called, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, to the top of the mount. I'm sorry. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. We find here in the verse two things. First, it says about God, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mount. And the second is that it says about the people, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And we have to understand, what is the mount? The word mount, har in Hebrew, comes from the word hihuim, contemplations, thoughts, which is man's mind. And that which is in the mind is called potential. That can afterwards extend in action. And according to that, we can interpret that, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mount. That is the thought in man's mind, meaning that God lets the people know that the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And after God lets him know, in potential, meaning at the top of the mount, then that which was in potential then extends in action. And because of that, the people comes to actually feel the need for the Torah. As it says, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. And now they said that by the actual feeling that they have, they have to accept the Torah, meaning there is no choice, because they see that if they receive it, they will have pleasure. And if not, here will be your burial place. Meaning, if, and in the above we can interpret, and the Lord came down upon the head of the mount, meaning that after God lets them know in the mount, meaning in the mind, that the inclination of man's heart is evil, and that is already set in their mind, meaning in their thoughts, he immediately acts, as it says, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. He immediately acts in everything, yes, as it says, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, meaning he already activates upon them the descent that was in the mount, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, that the descent is already in control. It turns out that the matter of forcing them is the descent and the knowledge that they got at the mount, meaning that the thought was acting on them, that now they had to receive the Torah because that was the mountain, meaning the descent, making them in them the need to receive the Torah so that they can overcome their evil, the evil in their hearts. And that will be the meaning of forcing them. What was the reason that now they had to receive the Torah and had no other advice? We should say the mountain, meaning the knowledge that they received in the thought, in the mind, that they are in a state of descent, because they have evil in the heart. This means that the intention, which is by way of coercion, and they don't have a choice. And this is called at another part of the mount, that the mount controls them. And according to that, we should ask, what is the meaning of that there was a miracle on Purim? The Rav Sages said, accepted and received. That until now it was by force, and from now on it will be willingly. And this is, as he says, Rabbah says, although the generation received it during the days of Ahasuerus, as it says, accepted, the Jews accepted and received, Rashi explains, because they loved the miracle that was done upon them. And we should excuse it, as it says in the introduction to Talmud HaSichot, that there is conditional love, that because of the pleasure that he feels in Torah and Mitzvot, he observes them. And there is a greater degree called an unconditional love, but because of the miracle that they took upon themselves to practice Torah and Mitzvot without anything. Rav's words. This is an article that belongs to Shavuot, and we are on the evening of Shavuot. What is the preparation for the reception of the Torah? We learn that everything we talk about, every phenomenon that we say that exists, it has to happen. Each phenomena has a need, has a vessel for it. There cannot be any revelation of good or bad if there is no reason, cause before it. The first cause is the thought of the Creator to delight the creatures. And that thought envelops the whole of creation, the will to receive, swallows it and brings it to its final state. And each and every phase on the way that the will to receive goes through comes as a result of a previous phase, and this way, by a chain of cause and consequence, we evolve. If our final situation is to be like the Creator, we receive from Him His attributes, His vessels, what we call the upper nine, so we have to create a need for it, a need for the reception of the attributes of the Creator, to equalize and form with Him. What is the need for equality of form or equivalence of form? The previous need to feel that I need it, that it's important. Meaning, anything that is not any desire, that is not a desire of the Creator, I feel it as bad, or it is bad for me. Meaning, to discover that I have attributes, and my attributes are opposite to the Creator's, and because of that, they are evil. They might be good, but not for the purpose of equivalence of form with the Creator. Meaning, even before that, I have to be in a situation where I feel myself completely opposite to the Creator. I have to know who the Creator is, what are His attributes and what are my own attributes, and the difference between us, between Him and I. And that difference, I should feel it so bad that I cannot tolerate it anymore. And then when I'm already in that situation, before that I also have preparations and all kinds of situations. But that situation where I am in an opposite situation to the Creator in every way is called standing at Mount Sinai. That I'm at the nether part, at the bottom of the mount. And above me, there's this whole mountain. All the thoughts, my attributes, the evil, everything that separates me from the Creator. The Creator is at the top of the mountain. How do I know that He's there? Because there is my point in the heart. When I feel the difference between those two feelings, that the whole people is at the bottom of the mount, and Moses rises up to the top of the mount, and then I have a need for the light that reforms. And then I feel that the Creator forces it on me. Yes, there is coercion here. And the Creator descends on the mount, to the mount. If I go above my mount, my contemplations, my thoughts, then there I will meet Him. Meaning, if I climb on top of all my doubts and thoughts, and there's a reason why that situation is revealed to me, that either I receive those corrections and rise with all my thoughts above them, or that this will be my burial place under it, under all those desires and thoughts. I'll be buried under them. And then I feel that I need the Torah because it's against the evil inclination. I discover that inclination is my nature. This mountain is Mount Sinai. It comes from the word sin'ah, hatred, because I hate it. What does it mean that hatred came to the nations of the world? It means that I hate the nations of the world in me, inside me, and because of that, I receive the Torah. After I determine that the evil is inside me, and before I determine that my inclination is evil, but that it is good. If it's good, then I want it. But if I want it, I want to use it. The Creator, who works by the purpose of creation, wants to bring me to the top of the mount. Every person must be like Moses. The Creator gives light, and in this light I begin to have descents and ascents, to the extent that I determine that my inclination is good. I get descents to see it vis-a-vis the light, until I determine that it's bad. Until those descents finally accumulate in me into a mountain. At which time I need the Torah as the Torah of correction. And when I receive the Torah as correction, I receive it as filling. And these things, of course, are all done by coercion. It is guaranteed that He will force it on us. He forces coercion on us. And we can only be more sensitive to what happens to us when we look at the written history that should happen in each and every one of us inside us. The entrance to Egypt, the exodus from Egypt, the Mount Sinai, the entrance to the land of Israel. In nowhere does it say that a person does anything willingly. The Torah tells us that this is what happened, meaning this is sealed. We are at the end after all this development. Now this development, which is already planned, now it has to be in each and every one of us. No exceptions. Or without any action by which we can kind of skip it. Everything goes by cause and consequence. The need for a situation, and then the situation, and then creates the need for the next situation, and then I get the next situation, etc. Our participation is in speeding up the situations, in participating willingly, consciously, in the situations, as Baruch Salam writes in the article, The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose, that the essence of religion, he means Kabbalah, by the word religion. It doesn't relate to Judaism or any other kind of religion. When he says Torah, he means the light of the Torah that reforms. When he speaks of Torah and Mitzvot, he talks about spiritual actions. He's only talking about spirituality, not about the branches. He talks about the roots. What happens in spirituality, that's what he tells us. So here too, when he says, what is the need? What is the essence of religion? He says the essence is to develop in us the recognition of evil. The whole process that we go through when we receive the knowledge is in order to develop in us the recognition of evil. That through the wisdom of Kabbalah, we evolve and become more sensitive to what happens to us, and our reactions become faster. We feel ups and downs in everything we do. An ordinary person who doesn't develop this sensitivity, he doesn't feel these ups and downs according to what happens to him in his life. For him, it's just ordinary things. He's sensitive to things that are on the level of this world, superficial. And by going into ups and downs, that's a result of the light working on us. When we begin to compare ourselves, that below it is me with my desires, and above is the Creator at the top of the mount, and He's there, I'm here, and then all the descents are actually by accumulating those descents, I get the recognition of evil, and I'm placed under my thoughts. And opposite that, I see where the Creator is, which is my point in the heart, my Moses. So our whole participation in this evolution is to be more sensitive to what happens to us. And this sensitivity, we can develop it mainly through society. Society can increase my recognition of evil and recognition of good in all kinds of situations. Society can increase my sensitivity to these situations so much that I will feel that these situations, I go through them every second, every fraction of a second, and not that I will feel these ups and downs once every few days or weeks or months. It all depends on the sensitivity. And then when I already begin to understand, to be educated in them, I begin to determine their nature, their essence, which is good and which is bad. Meaning, how do I decipher the good? What do I consider good and what I consider bad? And then I slowly begin to tie the good and bad situations toward the Creator, the stature of the Creator, until I hate my own nature, and then I come to Mount Sinai, that is when a person hates his own nature, and that makes him eligible for receiving the Torah. Question: what is the recognition of evil? There's awareness, then there's unawareness, like you're unconscious. I have all kinds of attributes, like a baby. Then I grow and they become bigger. Some weren't before, but they develop later on. If you show your baby to a specialist, he might tell you he's a hero, he has these attributes, those attributes. And then people look at the baby, people can look at the baby and tell you what he'll look like 20 years from now. And you can't see it. For you, it's a crawling little piece of meat. You just don't have the sensitivity for the attributes in it, but a specialist can see them. My attributes, that's me. And then I begin to see, no. Myself is what I think of myself. I would replace this attribute and that attribute, this is good, this is not good. I begin to judge myself. I, as a judge, begin to judge myself, my own attributes, from the side, and then I can already say about them if they're good or bad. Before I can differentiate myself as a judge of my own attributes, then I am not I. I don't have my own selfness. I'm completely like a baby, and that's called unconscious. When does consciousness begin? When I can look at myself from the side, and then when I look at myself from the side, I can already see my attributes as either small, or if I'm an expert, as great. And when I see them as great, I can, as a wise man, use these attributes to acquire the, you know, to attain things in life and enjoy them, yes, utilize them. Or I see that these attributes are not so good. How so? I would like to be more of a hero. I would like to be more cunning. And then I work on these things. I go to courses, I go to psychologists, they teach me, and I become a person who can use this world, exploit this world for my own good, my own pleasure. And then I suddenly begin to discover, that it actually gives me nothing. And I don't know where that came from. But I suddenly lose the point in seeing myself this way, that way. I don't care about the world. I don't want to get anything from it. Where does this come from? A little bit of light from above comes down on me and begins to give me a new point of distinction. And I begin to look at myself not from the point of my ego, but from Malchut that rose to Bina, from a spark from the breaking of the vessels. It's called a point in the heart. It doesn't come from the center of the heart as before. As before, I wanted to utilize my attributes egoistically, but from a point in the heart. There's a difference, which is Bina in the heart, not the heart itself, not the Malchut. And then I begin to look at my own attributes and I see how wrong they are. So I begin to judge them according, compared to what? I compare the Malchut in the heart with the Bina in the heart. I look at my own attributes and I see this is a completely different recognition now. That's a spiritual recognition, not a beastly one. And then I measure myself differently, not how I exploit the world for my own good, but how to exploit the world and myself in favor of a higher goal. Not, I don't aim at the Malchut in the heart, but at the Bina in the heart. And then I begin to work on it. So you want to know what the recognition of evil is? What stops me is called the heart. And to the extent that it stops me, I want to kill it, to delete it, to stay away from it. If I discover that it really kills me, I'm willing to do anything just to get rid of it. So much so that people pay a lot of money to get rid of bad attributes. They take treatments and do things. But here, I begin to measure myself opposite a completely different point compared to a mountain, to the point in the heart, to the top of the mountain. And then I determine that anything below it, anything at the bottom of the mountain, my own nature, the nation, yes, the people of Israel, I determine that all those things are bad in me. Either I belong to the mountain, to Moses, who went up there to the summit, or I'm buried under the mountain. If I determine that that's my evil, to be at the bottom of the mountain and not at the top, that's called the actual recognition of evil. And then I really need the correction, the Torah. Question. We say that everything comes from the Creator. So how can I hate anything that comes from the Creator? Good question. How can I create a negative attitude to my attributes which the Creator placed in me? How can there be any negative attitude to anything in the world, actually? If everything is done by the Creator, there's one thing that He did not create, but that came indirectly from Him, and that's the breaking of the vessels. And the result of it, the shells. Why are the shells considered so evil? Why is it so bad? Because they don't have direct contact with the Creator. Besides that, they're not so bad. If they had contact directly, then they could be in adhesion then. But the breaking created a difference. From one source, it split up in two. This is in order to receive. This is in order to bestow. The will to receive before the breaking was raw, not good nor bad. There was no reality to it that you could say that this is a will to receive even. Everything belongs to the world of Adam Kadmon. Even the points of Nekudot Desag, where there was the breaking of the vessels. Nekudot Desag is the restricted Sag, that restricted according to Nehi de Galgalta, but it's Sag, restricted. So in Sag, we have everything that belongs to the world of Nikudim. It's all in this upper system. Only afterwards, it splits up into shells and holiness. And even the holy Abiyah and the unholy Abiyah is all unreal. These things only actually happen in the souls when there's actual evil and things that are actually remote from the Creator. So you don't determine your attitude to what the Creator created as good or bad. You can't say that they're good or they're bad, but you determine how they are used in favor of the Creator or in your own favor, because the breaking of the vessels detaches you from Him, and also it's like you're opposite to Him. It's also not even you, you just feel like it. You just have to determine what belongs to Him and what belongs to you. So the recognition of evil, you just determine things that are opposite in form. They're not things that He created. My will to receive, my attributes, is a will to receive. It's not bad. It's not good, it's not bad. Good and bad is how you use it. That in the breaking of the vessels, they wanted to use it in order to bestow, but it turned out that they used it in order to receive. So now there's a split. You can use the will to receive in order to bestow or in order to receive. Before that, there was neither. Before that, there was just Adam Kadmon, and that's just the intention of the Creator. But then, from Nekudot Desag below, it belongs to the world of correction. So from the Creator, you get these two options, the evil and the good inclinations, the right line and the left line, the good angel and the bad angel. And what you have to do is determine which is the good angel and which is the bad angel in you. They placed Malchut and Bina in your heart. And from those two distinctions that you were given, I'm talking about people who were given that, who have a point in the heart. When they have those two points, they have to develop them to the point where they feel that which belongs to the Malchut in the heart, that's bad. That which belongs to Bina in the heart is called good. That's what I was talking about when I was relating to the article, the essence of religion. And what is the study? What is the purpose of our study? To extend that light from above to show us the evil. And what's the group for? In order to increase our sensitivity to the bad things and to the good things. Besides this clarification, observation of good and bad, that's our whole work. And before that, it's all considered the Noga show, which is neither. You know, people say, oh, I'm like everyone else. And then he begins to see the good versus the bad. only by the light. What's the light that performs? It shines and gives you sensitivity that you didn't have before, that you were undeveloped before. Now you can see things. Bala Salam explains that the difference between a person who's developed and who's undeveloped is that a person who is developed can see things like in a microscope and can stay away from them. And an undeveloped person doesn't feel them so much. So we only increase the sensitivity. That's it. So much so that the difference between good and bad becomes like Mount Sinai, the hatred between the bottom and the top of the mountain. Sinai from the word Sina, hatred. All our tributes, the whole nation that came out of Egypt is all at the bottom of the mountain. Only Moses, the point that you got from the Creator, that's the only thing that's at the top. And I'm willing to give up everything I have at the bottom of the mountain just to be together with this point that has contact with the Creator. And I expect it, that point, to bring me the means to correct the attributes of the people to be in order to bestow. And that's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Sfirot that I expect to acquire by the Torah, by the light that it brings. And then Bala Salam explains about the 13 corrections of Dikna and how they work through Potsu Farichanpin to Abba and Zoranpin and Malchut, and then all their souls. How all the souls can cling, can cancel themselves, nullify themselves, and just cling to be included in Zoranpin in order to receive those 13 corrections that will create in them their own sense field in a holy structure of the Pasuf Neshama. Our self-nullification is also a result of the recognition of evil. If I know that my nature is completely evil and I can't do anything about it, and only this point just conquers me, yes, in a good sense, that I just want to be a part of it. So it's called that I am trample my attributes. Again, not my attributes, but the egoistic use of them. It's all about the difference, how great the difference appears to me, how important this point is to me. The point of Moses, the top of the mountain, how important it seems to me. Our will to receive, according to as much as we can determine its character, it grows. When it's given the mind, it is also given the wisdom to use it correctly. Right? Otherwise, if it just has the strength but not the wit, then it's like a retarded person. You have to tie it down, to tie him down, and you know, you have to be afraid of it. If it's a beast, like a lion or something, then you know what to expect from it. But if it's a person who is 30 years old with a 5-year-old mind, he can come here and start doing I don't know what, it's a problem. How can we, in what do we grow? You want me to have the brains, but not the strength. So what do I need the brains for if I can't do anything with it? If I only grow in potential, in strength, but not in brains, so I'll be retarded. So what do? The problem is that mankind doesn't develop the recognition of evil. So it turns out that it's growing above beastliness. When in its part that is above beastliness, it is growing in a corrupted form. It's like a baby with strength, but no mind, no brains. We came out of the caves and began to develop, and we had to, alongside with our human development, alongside with it, we had to develop our corrections to determine that this evolution will be in order to cling to the Creator. And we get additional strength all the time, but we never correct them in order to bestow. So it turns out that we are retarded. We are way behind. That's why our whole use of technology is against ourselves, like a retarded baby. We're not getting the brains how to use it effectively or beneficially. Just like it. The whole of mankind. And if a baby has such a system that whatever he does wrong comes back to him immediately. Say, if he goes into the kitchen and turns something on, he's immediately, gets an electric shock. Something injures him or something. That's the way we are with our technology. We don't know how to use it correctly in order to bestow. In everything we develop with our unhealthy mind, our egoistic mind goes against us. So that's why all the wars, the threat of destruction, the pressures, who is enjoying this world? That's the only reason. We should ideally be in the degree of only beasts. Like a person whose humanness is undeveloped, a monkey person, without the systems of human systems. But providence purposely should bring us to a situation not like that, but if we were to develop like this ideally, from the time we came out of the caves, and then the more our will to receive would grow, the more we would turn it into the soul to the Creator, we would never feel the evil in us. We would never come to recognize the evil. Now we have to come to a situation which is called the coercion. So the evolution should bring us to a situation that we feel that we are in the worst possible situation. And we will still know this Moses, that there is a Creator at the top of the mountain, that there is the purpose of creation, and that it's above us, like a godly message, as something by which we can save ourselves. We have to come to it. And when we are in that situation, then we'll have the actual recognition of evil, and that's called the war of Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog. And then we will want to attain the Torah, we'll be worthy of it. We will come to hate our own nature, because we will be able to see that if the Creator doesn't give us a Torah, then here is my burial place. It's not that he has to say it. We have to say it. That's what we should come to. Just as They tell us in the Torah it should happen. To each of us individually and to our nation as a nation and to mankind in general toward the Creator. That should be revealed everywhere, in the individuals and in general. That's the plan, and there's no escape from it. But the more sensitive we are to it, the more the faster will come to this situation. Each person and the nation and the whole world. This deafness in the world, you see what happens with us. Now Sharon is going into this trip of peace. It's a deafness that has to come until we come to a situation that is complete hatred between spirituality and corporeality, between the Creator and the opposite nature. If we are sensitive, reality doesn't have to explode on us. That's why Gog and Magog can be finished in a laboratory, or you can bring it out to the whole world. It doesn't matter. The most important is that you recognize the evil. If you have a microscope, you can see it before it develops. You say, oops, this is an infection that can kill the whole world, and that's it, that's enough. That's all we need. We need to extend a lot more light to show us there is no certain external measure that you have to determine. Oh, that's Mount Sinai. This measure is, this amount is your own situation. You can no longer tolerate the evil. Prophet Sallam says in the essence of religion that it depends on man's development. A developed person who uses Kabbalah, who uses the light that forms, he sees how bad it is now. He doesn't need. He says we're a developed person because of that. We're developed people. And he means only people who practice Kabbalah, who study Kabbalah. We should study it. There's no point waiting hundreds of years. It'll not be the path of Torah, it'll be the path of pain. The whole thing is that we were given the Kabbalah so that we can speed up this development. And we won't have to come to it naturally. He writes that you're going to do it, you're going to go through it anyhow. But either happily or unhappily. Why does the Creator add will to receive if there's no correction? I told you they have to add more and more until you can no longer tolerate it, until you determine that it's bad. You want to be given 10 grams of will to receive and you will perform 10 grams of correction. Another 10 grams, another 10 grams of correction. By that, you will be like an angel, a corrected beast. Now, 20, 30 grams in order to bestow. That's it. It's a machine. It's not through the recognition of evil. If you recognize your evil by 20 grams or 30 grams, and you will correct yourself accordingly, you will never feel how opposite you are to the Creator. You will have no situation of oppositeness of form. You will not want Him afterwards so that you can love Him endlessly. You have to be endlessly opposite to Him. our whole development should come to that. So it might take another 1 or 2,000 years. It doesn't matter. But you have to come to a situation where in every tribute you have, you will hate when you view them through the light of Torah, when you see them, those attributes, that I hate them how much as much as Mount Sinai. You can do it in the lab, because I'll tell you why, because what you do is you're dealing with your own soul, which is complete, like in the first man. But you can only see a tiny part of it, a tiny measure of it. Of the whole structure, you can see everything, but only like a point. And in this point, you have the whole structure of the soul. If you take light and shine into this point, instead of the point, you'll see, you'll begin to live in a world, in the world of your soul. And here, it depends how much light you extend to shine into your attributes. So if you extend the light by the group forms all the other souls in the first man. They're like representatives of the rest of the souls, other souls. So you extend that much light on you, improved in many ways by other souls to shine on you. And bring you the recognition of evil. So it all depends on the surrounding light, on the extension of the surrounding light. Yes? Read item 155 in Introduction to Talmud with the Sosfirot. So what's the question? So, if you ask me, couldn't you do it 10 years ago? Or 1,000 years ago? Surely, I'm sure you could do it. Didn't Kabbalists come to it? They did. We develop, well, there's collective and individual connected here. But in any case, who says that the Messiah couldn't come 1,000 or 2,000 years ago? Yes. I didn't hear the question. Answer. If people are willing to be responsible for one another, so what he receives is not the Torah. It's not the Torah that he wants. If he's willing to be as one man with one heart, but he can't, he's unable to do it, and that his hatred of his will to receive, that's called one man and one heart. Yes, to unite the points in the heart. So then what he's going to receive is not the Torah. The Torah brings only that correction. There's nothing more than that. The situation on Mount Sinai is all about going from in order to receive to in order to bestow. In order to you unite all the hearts in order to receive the Torah. If you don't do it, it's not the Torah that you receive. I don't know what it is. It's science or something. It's a very simple idea. The Exodus from Egypt gave people the sensation, yes, people in us, yes? It gives us the sensation that all my attributes are, in general, Pharaoh, from which you have to escape. But still, it is not in strength and necessity that you have to do it in order to work, in order to bestow to the Creator. Before you cross the Red Sea and go into the desert, you still don't have, in a person who goes through these phases, he still doesn't have the understanding that it has to be in order to bestow it to the Creator. He's still escaping his own Egypt. He still doesn't come in order to give to the Creator. I feel bad. It's not that I work for him, it's that I feel bad. There's a difference. You might say that, is it right to say that that's why there was only Moses in Egypt and here it's the whole nation? Yes, you could say that. That's why Egypt, exiting Egypt is in the dark, because the person is not ready yet. It's all in potential. The exodus from Egypt is when he wants to escape the wilderness to receive, yes, but he just feels bad because of the plagues. If there are no plagues, I don't want to escape anything. All in all, I'm able and willing to be together with Pharaoh and Moses and with the people of Israel. With the Egyptians, it's not so bad. I'm still looking to reconcile everything together. There's a plague, but then it's gone. Another plague, and then it's gone. And then he says, leave, and then he regrets. A person cannot by himself exit. He doesn't see where to go. Also, if Pharaoh would send on them, not his army, but the opposite, come back to Egypt, see what you have here. Yes? If he would persuade them pleasantly, they would gladly go back to Egypt, but instead he sent his army, who wanted to kill them. A person is not willing to exit, to leave.